I've been a Beatles fan since I was a little girl, and I was just looking at one of the clips from Shea Stadium, and you realize what an insane impact they had on American culture. You're walking in some pretty big Beatle boots, aren't you?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, their legacy is just incredible, really, isn't it? You know, when you think about it.
It really is. How did the Mersey Beatles come about?
So we were friends at school, you know. Three of us were friends since the age of 11. We went to secondary school together, or you might call it high school. And we met and had a love of music in common. So that's Ringo, John, and myself. I play Paul in the band. And we developed it, you know, over the years. And we wrote music together, and we were always in various bands together in one form or another. And in our mid-20s, we thought, you know, we're getting the most enjoyment out of playing Beatles songs. Why don't we, formalize? Why don't we buy some suits and start to take it a bit more seriously? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, you've taken it very seriously. You've made quite a career out of it.
Yes. We've been together as the Mersey Beatles for next year will be our 20th anniversary.
Wow.
So a long time, yes. And although when you say taking it seriously, only in terms of respecting the Beatles, the music is just fun, you know. It's always fun. And that's the thing. If it stops being fun, then we'll stop doing it, you know, because it wouldn't come across to the audience. But it hasn't stopped being fun yet, you know.
Thank goodness. Well, you were the house club at the house band at the Cavern Club. Now that's pretty intense.
Yeah, that was when we got that invitation. We were so flattered. I mean, we'd played there for various things, but when we were invited to become the resident band there around 2002, we were just blown away and just like, wow, now this is the next step. You know what I mean? So the audience there is always very different too. So it's full of tourists, locals, students. When it's kind of university time, and about now they come back to university. And so every single week when we play there, you have a completely different audience, and it was just always a pleasure and really an honor in a way, you know.
Oh, I can understand that. Do they still scream like they did back in the 60s?
Well. One or two, for jokes, you know. Really, the mania died down, I guess, even while the Beatles were, you know, still a band, and it became about just the pleasure of the music, you know. And when you do see people, they close their eyes in the Cavern and they watch the show and they're trying to kind of, you know, recreate memories and things, and it's just such a thrill to do, you know.
You know, as you say that you're honoring the memory of the Beatles and an amazing catalog of music, I can't imagine when you go on the road, how do you select what you're going to be playing?
Yeah, well, we at first, like all the Beatles tribute bands, I guess you sort of learn the Red and the Blue album, you know, the best of, you know what I mean? So that you know you're going to please people. But over the years, we really developed this show where we specialized the first half. For instance, last year we did the whole of Sergeant Pepper as the first half of the show. And then we did kind of hits show in the second half of the show. So this year the first half of the show is themed around 1968 because it's 50 years since the Beatles' White album and all things 1968. And then the second half again is hits. So it's an ongoing thing now. I think next year we're going to do Abbey Road as special, and then hits, you know. So, so we've made it more kind of interesting in terms of, it, you know, you don't quite know what you're going to get, but you will be pleased, you know. That's the idea.
Oh, no doubt.
Surprises, yeah.
Well, you mentioned the 50th anniversary of the White Album, and I believe they're just about to re-release that. It's phenomenal to think that was 50 years ago.
I know. I heard that they were going to re-release it with all of the demos, and for a Beatles fan like myself, this is a thrill, you know, because you love to hear the writing process, you know, that the guys went through, and whenever they bring up these new things, I mean, I'm a sucker for it. I'm first in the queue, you know. I buy it in all the formats, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a crazy Beatles fan, but the White Album, along with Please Please Me, has always been my favorite. You know, Please Please Me for its energy, and it's the first one.
Oh, yeah.
But then the White Album, just for its various kind of moods, and I think the Beatles were really creative in that period, although they were kind of at the beginning of a breakup.
Yeah.
Creativity never stopped with them, you know.
No, it really didn't. You're on the road an awful lot. How do you keep the energy up? You go from Germany to over here to the Largo Cultural Arts Center. I mean, that's quite a hop. How do you keep the energy going?
Yeah, it's funny you should mention, because we just been to Germany and I caught a little cold. You may be able to hear my...
Oh, I'm sorry.
My cold. The thing is, you just have to get on with it. You know, at the end of the day, you're on the road and you're doing the show, and occasionally, maybe once a year, you hit a show where you think, oh dear, I don't know if I'm going to get through, but your adrenaline gets you through. Most of the time, you know, you're in good spirits because the guys, we've known each other a long time. We know when to have a joke and we know when to leave each other alone. And the guys are kind of easygoing, you know, and our whole crew in America is really easygoing. So there's no tension. It's just fun, you know.
Well, as you said before, if it's not fun, why do it? Who have been some of your biggest supporters over the year? I think we would remember at least one or two of those.
Biggest supporters in terms of the Cavern Club, that kind of thing, you mean?
Sure.
We have the Cavern Club who've supported us down the years, and then we have John Lennon's sister, Julia mm-hmm. Bird, who's a big not only is she our friend, she's a fan of the band and she's a very big supporter. She says lots of nice things about us. And we invited her on the road a few times and she's come along with us. She's a great companion. She's very intelligent, just like John, you know.
Yeah.
Just great company. And I suppose she's the biggest supporter of the band in terms of anyone that's in the Beatles circle, you know.
Oh, I would think so.
Yeah.
So over the years, which of the Beatles did you have a chance to meet?
Well, we never met any of them, but we had a chance to meet Paul in Detroit when he did a show, and Julia was with us. John's sister Julia was with us, and all week she'd been calling his people. Now, Julia, of course, can go and see Paul whenever she likes.
Sure.
She'd been saying, perhaps we'll get to see him before the show, and we were all excited. And then when we got to the place where you could, at the stadium, where you can kind of go past the security, they said, well, we know you, Julia, but these guys can't go in.
No!
Yeah, and it was just because Paul was due on stage in like 20 minutes. Anyway, Julia went through, and then Paul was late. Paul didn't come on the stage for 40 minutes,
Whoops.
And Julia came back and said, yes, he held up the show because we were talking, you know.
Incredible. That's amazing. I saw Paul when he was here at Amalie Arena, and I have to admit, I felt like one of those kids at Shea Stadium when he came on stage. The screaming felt just as loud, and I closed my eyes for a few minutes. It's like, this is what I lived for so many years on my bucket list of concerts that I really wanted to see. Yeah. And the fact that, you know, he's still rocking very, very well, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah. Well, me too. I've seen Paul 13 times.
Woo!
And each time is just, yeah, I don't know, I'm a crazy Beatles fan, you know. But in 1990, when he first started to do his touring again, when he really got back into it, he played in Liverpool and people thought he's never going to do it again anyway.
Huh.
But then to come to Liverpool and play at a purpose-built stadium down at the Dockland, it was just incredible. And when he played Sergeant Pepper, I swear there were tears in my eyes. You know, I was like,
yes.
Yeah, this is now I can die happy, you know. It was incredible, you know.
I
followed him a little bit, yeah.
Well, we both have been lucky enough to have those experiences. If you weren't doing the Mersey Beatles, what would you be doing?
Well, before the Mersey Beatles, I did various jobs, but not... I always tried to do something in the arts, music or something performing in some way. But before I was a Mersey Beatle, I just, you know, I did odd jobs and all of this. So I really wasn't qualified for anything but music, you know. So luckily, we forced it over the line, you know. Otherwise, I can't imagine. I can't imagine my life without it, you know. It's been 20 years, so...
I know the feeling. And as you said before, if it's not fun, why do it? I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you get some rest. But we're so looking forward to you being at the Largo Cultural Center next week. And, oh, if someone wants to follow the Mersey Beatles, how about your Facebook,
yeah.
Twitter?
Yeah, we have Facebook and Twitter. Yeah, I mean, if you search the Mersey Beatles, you'll find us. But it's all available on our website, themerseybeatles.com. Tickets and Facebook and Twitter, everything is kind of centralized there. All the information about the band is at themerseybeatles.com. So, yeah, and we're really looking forward to getting out there again. You know, America's like a thrill for us, you know. It's like the pinnacle of what we could achieve, and now we did it, you know.